Welcome to the Transform Your Mind Radio Hour and Podcast, a show about transformation, mindset transformation. This is Life Coach Marnie Young, and in my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, I share my journey of being born in poverty in Guyana to have an abundance in America. And I did it by changing my mindset. Let's go do it. Each week, I bring you guests or one-on-one coaching sessions to help you change your mindset and transform your life. Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio, podcast, and television show. I'm your host, Life Coach Marnie Young, and sitting in the guest chair today is Martin Sawa. Martin is the author of The Other Side of Success, From Alcoholism to Success in Commercial Real Estate. And we are going to be talking today about commercial real estate and, you know, the American dream. So welcome, Martin.
Hi, Marina, and thanks so much for having me on.
Yes. Yes, I'm definitely going to enjoy talking to you, as you shall see, as we get a little bit into the conversation. But let me give you guys a little bit of background, a short bio on Martin. Martin Sawa is a first-generation Ukrainian-American, former San Francisco real estate power broker, and author. His remarkable rise to self-made wealth from the humblest of beginning is amazing. A devastating loss forced him to reevaluate the meaning of success, and he's going to talk to us about how the impact of love, family, religion, and race shaped his American dream. A son of poverty-stricken Ukrainian immigrants who as a teenager sold hairbrushes door to door, Martin later quit a stable 9-to-5 job to try his hand at the high-stakes world of San Francisco commercial real estate in the early 80s. As the demands of the job required more and more of him, Martin found himself in the grip of alcoholism. It would take a tragedy to pull him out of it. As I mentioned, Martin's new book, The Other Side of Success, Money and the Meaning in the Golden State, is an account of the new American experience told from the perspective of a first generation immigrant who made the American dream a reality. The book tells the story of the glamorous and cutthroat world of commercial real estate in the second most expensive market in the country. Readers will be inspired by Martin's tenacity and drive, as well as his resilience in the face of personal trauma and tragedy. Well, Martin, I picked this topic because I don't have a lot of guests come on anymore talking about real estate. You know, when I started the show, because I'm a realtor, I had a few guests come on, and then I kind of deviated from that. But this is a great mix of, you know, real estate, the commercial side of it, tragedy, how you got over something that's, alcoholism, tragedy. So it's a mix of self-help. It's a mix of wealth, and it's a mix of the American dream. Hey, we all want the American dream. So I love your story. So can you bridge for us as we start off? I know you sold hairbrushes door to door. What was your entry into commercial real estate like? How did that happen?
Well, at the time, I was almost 30 years old. I had grown up in the Midwest, but moved to California. So I was living in Oakland, which is across the bay from San Francisco. And I had a dead-end job, and I was driving 40 miles one way down to San Jose. And I was a city planner. And one day I was standing at the counter processing permits, and a developer came in, and he was angry and, you know, waving his plans. And I looked at him. He was like a silver fox with a big gold medallion. And I wondered why I was doing what I was doing, because not only did I not like the job, I was dead broke. And my then wife was pregnant with her daughter. So I just quit. I walked away, and I didn't know right away what I was going to do. But then I remembered when I was a teenager, when I just finished high school, I sold footwear brush products door to door in the west side of Chicago. And I was good at it. And it taught me, I had a great mentor too, who taught me the fundamentals, and I knew I could sell. And the fundamentals don't change whether you're selling hairbrushes or high-rise office buildings. It's just a difference of degree, but not in kind. So I thought about all the things I could sell, and commercial real estate looked like the biggest assets. And I figured they must have the biggest commissions. So...
Yeah.
Well, why not go for it? And I started out. There are many sort of work opportunities in commercial real estate. You can do brokerage, leasing office space. You can be in property management, etc. But I chose to be in investment property sales, which was the riskiest because these deals took months to put together, if they came together at all. And you weren't guaranteed a paycheck for a long, long time. Wow. And it took me a year before I actually got my first commission check. So that taught me how to make ends meet without having any money coming in.
Wow. Okay, there's tons of things I want to circle back to. So one, you know, my entry into selling was similar. I sold encyclopedias door to door, and I found I was good at it. Not that I had any sales skill, because they didn't really teach us any sales skill, but I learned that I had the personality that people would buy from me. You know what I mean? And that personality, because I went into sales later on in my career as well. And as I mentioned, I'm a realtor. But so that kind of started my sales career, and I've always sold that way, you know, with my personality, and you know, not necessarily knowing that you know, there's a stage 1, 2, and 3 and following it kind of thing, you know what I mean? So that was one thing. The second thing is, yes, one of the things about real estate, whether it's commercial or residential, is that you're working and you don't get paid until there's a closing. But obviously, the bigger the deal, the longer it's going to take to put together, right? I started trying to get into commercial real estate just before the pandemic hit. There's all of a sudden multifamilies, which you obviously didn't do because you didn't mention it. But multifamilies, and everybody wanted multifamilies because they said it was recession proof. And there are people, I'm in Florida, and there are people calling me all the way from California, all around the world. They wanted these multifamily deals, right? And I was trying to, you know, but what happened is that the sellers wanted more money than the buyers were willing to pay. So I was never able to get a marriage and get this big ass commission, because these buildings were, you know, there was one offer I had for $10 million. So it should have been a really nice commission. But then the pandemics happened, and now it looks like multifamilies wasn't recession proof, because now nobody really wants to touch them because of the eviction ban. The tenants are not paying their rent and you can't evict them, kind of thing. So that was the second part.
Are you having an event, party, or celebration? Or how about you just want some delicious soul food for you and the family? I guarantee you, if you try Old Snap Catering and Event, you'll say, wow, this is the best soul food I've had in a long time. Especially when you try our golden fried chicken. It is so juicy. And our creamy macaroni and cheese and flavored collard greens. So, if you're in the mood for some delicious food, come on and try us. Call us at 404-725-4853, or even better, check out our website at oldsnapcateringandevents.com. So snap your fingers and I'll see you soon.
It may surprise you to know that over 90% of businesses fail within the first 5 years. That is why Artsy Animate want to help you scale your business for success. According to business owners, two reasons for failure are money running out and ineffective marketing. In order to grow your business and shine, you need people to help you grow. Here at Artsy Animate, we dabble in all of it. Our team of experts all have over 5 years' experience. We develop top quality websites and offer you our best SEO strategies to help you rank and stay ahead of the competition at affordable prices. We would help guide you reach your ultimate goal, success, bringing in more clients for your business. For more information, visit us at www.artsyanimate.com or contact us at support@artsyanimate.com. That website again is www.artsyanimate.com.
What I wanted to find out though is you said that this guy, because you were working in plans, you saw this guy and he's a whatever, and you So walk us through a little bit more, because I lost that. How did you decide to pick the commercial end of real estate and the office buildings part? Because someone in this listening might get some inspiration.
Well, the guy at the counter was a developer. Uh-huh. And I actually, I was a broker for a number of years, but then became an operator where I would aggregate other people's money and we would buy properties. And then my third reinvention was as a developer. Okay. So that's the whole process of buying undeveloped land and then building a project on it. And yeah, I had a partner at the time. And in our case, we had a large mixed use project in downtown San Francisco, whose finished value would be, we estimate around $400 million. So
wow.
It was a big
deal. That's big space.
But
wow.
Get back to your point.
I'm getting excited with $10
million. Yeah. Get back to your point. A lot of people, they grew up with a passion, let's say, to do something or to be a doctor, an attorney, or whatever. I never had a passion for commercial real estate or, for that matter, much of anything else. What drove me to it was that I didn't want to hold down a real job. I didn't like people telling me what to do. If I wanted to do it in a better way, I didn't get paid anymore. So it was really a decision to be an entrepreneur. And even though I was affiliated as a broker with some of the major international companies, it was always as an independent contractor. So the first jump is to be an entrepreneur, to work for yourself. And then the next jump is, what are you going to apply your time to? And again, in my case, I just kind of looked around and said, real estate seems interesting. I know it wasn't cut out for residential.
Why don't you like residential? Like working with buyers that looking, going around, looking at kitchens and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's too emotional and it just doesn't suit my mindset. So commercial is more analytical and you tend to deal with, major, really, really wealthy individuals or right. institutional investors from around the world. So you're dealing right. with, you know, more sophisticated parties. And I kind of like the challenge. And once I started, I knew I was going to stay with it.
Okay. All right. So that was good. I like your thought process. You recognize that, you know, that you wouldn't work well with the residential. You went into commercial. Because you're working in the planning department, you know, you maybe had a little bit of input into development and things like that. So that's a good way to get into it. Now, why did you say that commercial real estate is glamorous and cutthroat? You just mentioned that you like working with, you know, the sophisticated buyers and all that. So where's the cutthroat coming from? Other realtors maybe? Or is it the people would use you up and just throw you out, that kind of thing, like they do in the residential?
Well, first of all, you have to understand my perspective or baseline. My parents grew up in Ukraine in the years before and during the Second World War. They lived under both Hitler and Stalin. So it doesn't get any worse than that. So yeah. Cutthroat in business to me, you know, heck. What else you got?
I see where you're coming from now. I didn't bother you at all, right? Okay, all right.
But it's a competitive business. And again, as an entrepreneur, I was working for myself. So when I started in brokerage, even with the big companies, the major competition to me were not the other brokers and other companies doing the same thing. They were the guys that were sitting around me. So we would fight internally for deals and everything. So it was cutthroat from the day time you walked into the office.
Like a car salesman. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't trust anybody. You know,
so. Okay. All right. And obviously glamorous when you're getting those, you know, those big checks. What is your largest check that you ever, commission check?
I never talk about my finances, so, but.
Okay, all right.
I will say one thing, and if you've been in the business, Myrna, you understand that you can work like crazy a year on a deal, and it falls apart. And on another deal, you can work 10 minutes.
5 minutes.
And make a huge commission.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you have to have the mindset that that's the way it works. You know,
yeah,
if I could predict which deals I was going to close, I could have worked 1 month out of the year. The other
yeah,
way.
Right.
Struggling. Yeah.
Yes.
It's
yes,
that kind
yes.
of a business.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. So that was good. So the glamorous, because it's high commissions, even though you don't want to say, but you know, for those.
Oh, yeah, and you're dealing with people whose names you would see in the paper. Again, if they were individuals, to be able to swing the purchase or the development of, let's say, a high-rise office building or a regional shopping mall or a large technology park, there are very few, in, at least then, there are a few more now, but it's way beyond the reach of one person. And if that one person can do it, he's, you know, billionaire or whatever. And so you're dealing with people who are very familiar, you know, because they're very wealthy. And then you're dealing with institutions. These are pension mm-hmm. funds, sovereign right. wealth funds. They could be, you know, from Germany, from Singapore, from anywhere. So that was part of the glamour. There was, you know, international travel and kind of hobnobbing with the people who control vast sums of money.
Right. So what was the market like? You mentioned that San Francisco is the second, the second real estate market. So I'm assuming the top is what, New York? Or is it?
Yeah, it always used to be Manhattan. But then
right.
With the expansion of Silicon Valley, and San Francisco historically was a financial services city. That's, you know, insurance companies, banks, et cetera. But with the technology explosion, it moved up into San Francisco. So now, you know, half the tenants are tech. So the whole nature of the business changed in terms of who were your customers and clients. And with tech, you got all these, all of a sudden, billionaires living, you know, 30, 40 miles down the peninsula in the Los Altos Hills of Palo Alto or wherever. And so the prices, not just in San Francisco, but throughout the Bay Area, just exploded. So San Francisco caught up to Manhattan sometime probably in the last 5 years, and just in terms of absolute property value per square foot, not only for commercial, but for residential as well.
Residential, right. So there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Now, you mentioned something earlier that, you know, I would like to know, and I'm pretty sure my listeners would like to know. You said that when you were doing door-to-door sales, you had a mentor that taught you the skill sets to sell, and you said it was transferable. You know, can you give us a little bit of what are the skills that you learned doing door-to-door sales and how you're able to transfer those skills into being successful as a commercial real estate broker?
Yeah, this was back in the day. Today, a lot of sales are conducted virtually. People never physically meet the people who, you know, the clients.
Well, I'm still in residential sales, so we still meet. But but I know the pandemic.
But even less so now, you do virtual tours and everything.
Right. You know, because of the pandemic,
So door to door, if you sold encyclopedias, you understand.
Yes.
It's the most kind of basic fundamental, mano a mano, that you can have. It's you and another person. And that person, in my case, was typically a housewife in her personal home environment. So it's you and the key is, as you know, if they open the door at all, you have a minute or two to develop trust to get in.
2 minutes. Right.
And you either do or you don't. And if you're broke and extended on credit cards and have a baby girl, and I had two stepkids at the time too, you're going to do whatever it takes to get in that door. That cannot be taught. The sales supervisor can tell you, you know, kind of how to do it in that. But that's, at some point, that's pure desire. And you can, if you take rejection, go to 10 houses, you're going to go to the 11th, you know. So once you get in, then there are techniques for converting the trust into an order and making a commission. So, and I was again fortunate because the mentor I had, he was very good. So I have my opening chapter in the book was actually about those several months I spent in Chicago, and this was 1968, when there was a lot going on. There was the riots earlier in the year. There was the Democratic National Convention. I grew up as a bumpkin in Nowheresville, Wisconsin, and all of a sudden showed up. And here I had to not only learn how to sell, I had to really figure out how to live in a city where there was like chaos all around. So it was quite an experience.
Wow. Yes, like they said, your experience now, you're sharing it in a book. That's an amazing story. Now, I also like, you know, I want to touch on before we get into your book, the what happened that made you, you know, become an alcoholic, and how did tragedy and self-resilience pull you out of that?
Well, there's a little backstory segue. The little town I grew up in, you know, I had a population of 5,000 people and 40 bars. So most of the male population in the town were quote, alcoholic. That word wasn't.
They didn't have anything to do other than go drink, right? Right. Okay.
Yeah, they didn't use that word. It was, you know, you were a two-fisted drinker, and that was a compliment. I mean, that's just the way those times were. And, you know, it's still that way in many parts of the world, in rural areas where, you know, alcohol is drives a lot of choices that people make, and sometimes they're not very good. So, I just started drinking beer in cornfields when I was 12. And then I went to college and I finished at University of Wisconsin in Madison, which was a huge party school. And it's so just something I did. And when I got into commercial real estate, there was all the functions and, you know, cocktail parties. And so I just, I remained functional in the business, but it became more and more of an issue. When I remarried and my second wife, this was in the early 1990s, she became the person who was not only wife and lover, but became my spiritual mentor and moral compass. And she had powers in what I call the world of the unseen. I think you probably know, kind of can guess what all that involves. So, it got to the point, and there was a major incident, and I won't give you the spoiler on that. You have to read the book, but it came down to she said, "You either quit drinking, or that's it." And I got it, and I did what I had to do. So, and then. But the really most impactful experience in my life was a few years later when she dropped dead one night. And there is nothing to prepare you for that experience.
Yes. Wow.
And that's when I really had to evaluate the big picture and business and all of that, and then life and meaning. And so
Did that experience make you want to go back to drinking? Because normally those things trigger you wanting to suit yourself.
I did think about pulling the plug, but I didn't really revert back into that because I stopped what I was doing. Fortunately, this was when I had a partner, and he was generous enough to carry your company for a while I tried to work through my issues. So, and the alcohol didn't factor much one way or the other into that because I had already developed the habits to kind of keep it in check. It was more, you know, again, short term, you know, figuring out how to continue, and long term, what did that mean to the conduct of my life from then on?
Wow. That is, you've got a great story. There's so many different nuggets and so many different checkpoints in there, you know? So you say you share all this in the book so that that people would be able to, you know, understand the sales skills, understand, you know, how you were able to move through alcoholism, and now you're on the other side. So what do you do now? You said you're a past broker. What do you do now?
Well, I got out of the business in 2013. And again, you'll have to read the book to find out the last big adventure, but
All right.
I was fortunate enough that I could do non-business things. And so I started to write, and I wrote some screenplays. I wrote some essays. And then I was working with a developmental editor, and she kind of knew me by then. She said, "Well, your life was kind of interesting, and you've certainly known a lot of characters." And mm-hmm. she said, you ever think about writing a memoir? And I said, you know, not really, because it seemed like kind of narcissistic. But then I thought about it and I said, well, I don't want to just do a business bio, because that's been done so well by others. And you usually get a one-dimensional protagonist. It's like the hero who, of course, overcomes obstacles and then he or she becomes a billionaire. But you never hear about the personal story. So I said, what if I wrote a book that was business bio, but also just kind of a raw accounting of my personal life? Because that's the way you live life. You know, you can compartmentalize, but you're one person, right? So it's just, so that's what I chose to do and to be as truthful as I could. And it took me 3 years. And now I'm just finishing up my virtual book tour and ready to start on my next book, which will be more of a kind of a how-to for self-improvement from all the lessons I learned in terms of my professional life. And then I also work, you know, with young people, proteges, and in particularly one case, my stepson, whose journey of success is even more compelling than mine. So my intention is to kind of put this all together into more of a traditional, you know, how-to book, but not, again, never like all the other stuff. It will be unique.
So. Right. Well, I'm pretty sure that you've got some real good sales skills, because you started young and you learned the fundamentals, like you said, and then you're able to build on that by being at the highest level of real estate, you know, commercial real estate, and in a city that that is also high, you know, the number one or number two, interchangeable. So I'm pretty sure you've got a lot of how-to good stories in there. So, all right, so your book, I have two names here. What is the correct name of your book? I've got The Other Side of Success, Money and Meaning in the Golden State. And then I had at the top here, something else. So what is the exact title of your book?
What you described is the correct title. The title is The Other Side of Success. And the subtitle is Money and Meaning in the Golden State.
Okay.
That's it in a nutshell.
All right. So this is my favorite question to ask authors. So you wrote the book as a memoir, but what it is that you want someone after they close the book to walk away with? What is exactly you hope to share? So tell us about that.
Because I spent so much time preparatory to and during the writing of it, I've had good reviews and they say it's fast paced. So my foremost desire, because if I just wanted to, you know, work off grief or do whatever, I could have kept a personal journal. So first and foremost, I created it as a story. And so it like reads like a novel. It doesn't read like your standard business bio. So there are characters and character arcs and, you know, twists and then the, you know, the transformation, all of these things, scenes in conflict. So I think I have a good story that even if commercial real estate is not something the reader has a high interest in, they'll find enough else in there about life and so forth, that they'll find it, I think, rewarding and hopefully. So I wanted to create a story that would entertain, would inform, would move, and maybe offer others some inspiration on their personal journey of success.
Okay, I got that. Yes, as you were talking, I understand that, you know, so... first of all, you know, your parents lived in the Hitler era, You came to America. We all come to America hoping for an American dream. You found that dream, but along the way you had some personal tragedy, and you know alcoholism, and you were able to get over that on the other side. And so now, as you write the book, you're sharing the story of personal tragedy and success with some business nuggets. Do I get that right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
I try not to get too technical also, because this is for the general reader in terms of there's one chapter devoted just how I put a deal together, but try not to get too much in the financial aspects and all of that. So it's still, it moves along, and, you know, hopefully people.
That's good though, because when you've got commercial real estate and the tagline, someone will pick it up because they're in commercial real estate. So it's good that you have a chapter on, you know, because, you know, for instance, I was listening to, I listened to a podcast about commercial real estate. And, you know, in there, they were telling you how to do deals and how to get the financing and things like that. So if you have a chapter in there that showed something of how you did something, that's perfect, actually. You know, that's what people need to see. You know what I mean? And then, of course, you've got the self-improvement bit and things like that. Okay. All right. So, you know, we're making good time. So anything in particular about the book that you want to share? Do you want to give a story from the book, or anything that you want to pull out so that people would, you know, maybe want to buy it?
Yes. The there are a couple of central themes in the book. Probably the most obvious is what I call putting skin in the game. Okay. And I think in a business sense, that's investing your time, your money, your reputation in a transaction or in an investment where you have meaningful stakes and you have downside risk. And so if you don't succeed, there's a penalty to be paid. And the bigger the deal and the higher you reach, the bigger is the risk. And that's true in business, and in, at least in my experience, it's true in most other aspects of life. Whatever you do in your interpersonal relationships or what you see on TV, or, you know, if you don't take a stand, if you don't stand up for what you believe, if you don't take a risk, and there's a lot of people today that are like tottering. These are average people who just, you know, what they see and experience is, you know, beyond their core values. But, you know, they're afraid to lose their job. They're afraid, you know, the kids won't get in the right school or whatever. And so that's one of the lessons, maybe the major lesson, is you put skin in the game. If you want the reward, you have to take the risk. The other, and is more, and this is kind of what my second book will focus in on more, is what success means. And for most people, it means material success, financial wealth, high net worth, you know, luxuries, toys, those kind of things. Those are evidence of success. And I just define success as the pursuit of specific tangible goals, okay, one after the other. And as you achieve the goal, you raise the stakes. And if you don't achieve the goal, you evaluate, you auto-correct, you reset it and continue on. Okay, but so one can achieve great heights just following that process. You know, of course, a lot of other things factor in. But then you have the other side, and this is what in the book I call the world of the unseen. And this is religion, it's spirituality, it's metaphysics. And this world operates in a different way. Okay, so you can have success in the material world and be a billionaire, okay? And you measure your life to get to the highest net worth you can have at the time you die. And so you've achieved great success, but you can still be an asshole, for my, excuse my French.
No, that's so, fine, yeah. Well, not other, only be an asshole, but you can be very unhappy. So yeah, that's, yeah.
So in the other world, okay, when I work with people, and the first question I ask them is, what do you believe to be true? Okay. What do you believe to be true? From the top down. So if you believe that life starts at zero and ends at zero, then you're going to live in a very specific way if you're going to be true to yourself, you see? And I don't care. You right. can live it any way you want, but you need to recognize. But if you believe there's more to life than meets the eye, you see what I mean? And you have certain core values and the like, then the trick is, as you're pursuing success in the material plane, is how do you align your core values? So you're making good decisions constantly, and you wind up being true to yourself with peace of mind and occasional episodes of happiness. So that's,
I like that. So you're trying to say that we can't be happy all the time. We're going to have occasional episodes. Okay.
Yeah. I don't believe happiness is an end to be pursued. It's the occasional good feeling that comes with a life well lived. That's about the best way I can put it.
Yeah. Well, your definition of success is my definition of happiness, actually, because they're saying that happiness is the movement towards a goal. So, in fact, I was just listening to Dr. Dwayne Dwyer this morning, which is someone that I totally love. And he says, well, yeah, if you're moving towards a goal or you're inspired, you can't be depressed. You know, so that's part of happiness. But I like what you said about success. You set a goal, you reach it, then you raise the stakes, because the needle is always moving. So you understand that totally. Yeah, you have a goal to do one thing, but when you reach that goal, you don't just pack up. You know, your mind says, "Well, I need to go further," right? And to you, that, you know, that's your definition of success, you know, moving towards, and I love that what you said about if you don't get it, you recalibrate, you know, like Suri would say, recalibrating, and you try something else. You know, you either take a fork in the road and you go in another direction, or you keep trying, you know. Yes, I have a personal story.
Yeah. There's an ancient Japanese proverb. It says, fall down 7 times, get up 8.
Yeah, well, yes, exactly. So it's a proverb, but also, you know, Jesus said it in the Bible too. So that's awesome. So that's what I love about what you said about your book. I mean, I love where we just ended, because this, of course, is a self-improvement show. And I love where you ended with your take on success and, you know, the people that you help and how you're transitioning into becoming a person that can help others, you know, to achieve their success or their goals, or, you know, be happy fleetingly for a short time or anything like that. So that is amazing. I love that. Thank you for, and I'm glad I asked the question, and I only asked the question because we had some time. So I'm very, very glad I had asked the question. And you're saying that in your book, you also touch on these aspects, right? Or yes. Is it your next book you're going to do that with?
No, I set it up, but the next book will be more traditional and just.
Okay.
But right. I love to hear from readers. So if any of your listeners would like to buy the book, The easiest thing is just to go to my website, martinsawa.com, MartinSawa. And there with one click, you can buy it online from Amazon or the bookseller of your choice. With another click, you can go to my social media sites to see some of my other archived interviews. And then if you scroll to the bottom, you can send me an email, and I'd love to hear, from readers. So.
Yeah. So yeah, how it impacted them as far as your story. You know, they might even want to share some of their commercial real estate stories with you. So that's amazing. So yeah, that was going to be my next question, but you, you know, so you can connect with, you can purchase the book by either going to Amazon or, you know, the easiest way is to get it off of Martin's website, which is martinsawa.com. I'm assuming you're on the social media as Martin Sawa as well.
Yes. Yeah. And on the website, again, there's the little icons. You can just click and go direct.
Right. And that'll direct you. Okay. So, yeah. So that's amazing. I will have a transcript of my conversation with Martin on the show page, which is blog.myhelps.us. And I also will have links there to his Amazon book. I mean, his Amazon page, as well as his website. So, read the book, give some reviews, you know, connect with Martin on social media. You know, I also will post clips of my interview on social media, Martin, and tag you. So, so that'd be great. So, yeah, this was a very great interview. Like I said, I love combining self-help with a little bit of business and, you know, building wealth and in the commercial real estate. You didn't want to talk about your commissions, but yes, it's a great way to, you know, commercial real estate, you know, the deals take only a year to do or 2 years, but in the end, it's rewarding.
Myrna, throughout my whole career, I never talked about what I made.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because if you have it, you don't talk about it. The ones talk who about have it, to right, talk right. about it mean they don't have it. So I don't want to.
You don't have it. Yes. So that's great. So that's definitely the American dream. Love it. Love it. Love it. Well, Martin, thank you so much for coming on to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life. You have transformed your mind to transform your life. You know, I love your journey. I love, you know, how you started and how you ended up. And that's where we should all be. We should never end the way that we started. We're here for a purpose. We're here to do something in this world, and we all have unique talents. So the fact that God geared you to commercial real estate and just dropped out of the sky, and that was your avenue to make a difference in the world. So that's beautiful. So yes, just want to thank you for coming on and sharing your story with us. And before we wrap up, do you have any last words?
Yes. Take advantage of the time while you have it, because you never know when the big guy is going to call your number.
Yeah, exactly. And you have experience with that, you know, yes. No warning. Somebody can just go. Yes. You know, another way to say that is tomorrow is never promised. Don't put off what you can do today for tomorrow, because tomorrow is never promised. All right, guys. So listen, thank you guys for tuning in. I appreciate it. If you're watching this on any of the, you know, the podcasts, I would, you know, wish you would make a review and subscribe, so that you can get it in your inbox every week. So thanks again for tuning in. And thank you, Martin, for coming on and sharing your story and inspiration with us. Until next time, blessings.